Well, in the build-up to Advent and Christmas at Wesley, we've been looking at the women who appear in Jesus' genealogy. That's Jesus' family tree. Because, hey, his family tree is a list of fathers and sons. But in that list, five women appear, okay, which begs the question, why those women? And if you investigate their stories, what you discover is that they are not the kind of stories, if you had to pick five, they're not the kind of stories that most families would choose to highlight. Because the first four women, they are all of dubious background or questionable character. Okay, Tamar is abused. Rahab was a foreign prostitute. Ruth was an ethnic outcast. And Bathsheba, while she was beautiful, also happened to be another man's wife. So what does that tell us? It tells us that it's exactly into the brokenness and the beauty of our world that Christ has come. And he came that first Christmas. But of course, if those are the four women and there are five, it leaves us with the fifth, doesn't it? Mary. And it would be tempting to say of Mary, I mean, duh, Martin, it's obvious why Mary is included. She's Jesus' mother. Okay, sure, but this genealogy is a list of fathers. So why name her? But of course, underlying that question, I think, is an even deeper one, which is why does God choose her, Mary, out of all the women he could have chosen in the first place? You know, I became a Christian when I was about 17, and shortly afterwards I heard a minister ask exactly that question, and it stuck with me. Okay, why does God choose Mary? And the point he was trying to make was that there must have been something. There must have been something attractive about her that made God choose her and pick her. Okay, so what was that? I mean, did she have good cheekbone structure? I mean, was God flicking through a catalogue of potential surrogate mothers and it was the colour of her eyes or the quality of her smile that did it? Or was it her IQ? Or her risk of disease profile? Or was it simply her character that made her stand out? Well, look again at what the angel says to her. Greetings, O favoured one. Not greetings, O most deserving, O most attractive one. And later on he says, you have found favour with God. And on both those occasions, that word favour is the word for grace or gift. So while if you're a teacher, you might have a favourite pupil because that pupil behaves well. Or if you're a sports fan, you might have a favourite player because that player performs well. Here, God is not playing favourites, is he, with Mary? He is showing grace. Because what is striking about Mary is not how exceptional she was, but how ordinary, even less than ordinary she was. And not in a way that empties Christmas of its wonder, but that multiplies it. You see, did you notice where she comes from? The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Or as we heard in one of the readings, Galilee of the nations. Galilee, despised by the rest of Israel as the place where Jews had intermarried with pagan Gentiles. But hey, even Galileans need someone to look down on, don't they? And who was that for the Galileans? Nazareth, and the people that come from Nazareth. Like when one of the 12 disciples tries to introduce a friend to Jesus of Nazareth, but the retort comes back, Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? So Mary is growing up on the wrong side of the tracks. She's coming from the kind of place that people want to leave, not visit. And if you look, she has no illusions about her social standing. In her favourite song, which we call the Magnificat, she doesn't sing, "How lucky God is to have found me, beautiful, intelligent, articulate me." What does she sing? She sings that he, God, has exalted those of humble estate, and he's filled the hungry with good things. She's probably talking about herself. So it is not just that Mary was young and female, it is that she was poor and from the wrong part of town and probably knew what it was to go hungry at a time when age and sex and wealth and social standing were the markers of God's blessing. But hey, all is not lost for Mary, is it? Because she could marry up. Because she was betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, King David, the royal family of Judah. So we are going to witness a royal wedding. Except the house of David has long fallen on hard times, hasn't it? And if we tend to love a good rags-to-riches story, the House of David is a story of riches to rags. And Joseph is no crown prince, is he? He's a carpenter. And there has not been a king on David's throne for 500 years. So, I mean, you know how organisations like the UN enlist the rich and the famous to be their goodwill ambassadors. No one is going to come knocking on Mary's door, are they? As if she even had a door. And of all the things that we typically assess people by, their wealth, education, social capital, networks of influence, Mary, she has none of them. And yet God chose her. Okay, but there's another reason that she stands out, isn't there? The angel tells her that she is going to bear a son, and she replies, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" You get that? If all the other women in Jesus' genealogy and his family tree are of questionable character, Mary is no different, is she? At least not in the sight of her neighbours. Because Mary may be young, but she is not naive. She knows where babies come from, and so does everybody else. And she is going to face the social stigma of that. Okay, so it's not just that Mary's poor and from the backwoods, it's that she's a virgin, chosen to carry a son. And listen again to how the angel describes him. His name will be Jesus. He will be great, Son of the Most High, heir to the throne of David, ruling forever over a kingdom that will never end, the Son of God. And so the wonder of Christmas is not just that God in his grace chooses Mary of Nazareth. It's that God the Son chooses to take on our humanity in her womb. That in the words of that carol, "Veiled in flesh the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity." And what's remarkable about Mary is that she said yes to all of this. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Because the stigma and the cost of what she is going to face are not what this girl from the other side of the tracks is thinking of, is it? What she's thinking of is that God, in his grace, would choose her to carry his son. And it is that saying yes that secures Mary's place in the greatest of family trees. And do you know what's extraordinary about Christmas? Is that all of us are invited to take and find our place in that same family. You see, if Mary was a recipient of God's undeserved love, that same love is on offer to every single one of us. Because if Mary was of no social capital, think how much lower her son went and why. You see, at his incarnation, Jesus entered the darkness of Mary's womb. But at the cross, he enters the darkness of our sin and death. At his birth, he was born naked and then wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a borrowed manger. At the cross, he was stripped naked, and at his death, wrapped in grave cloths and laid in a borrowed tomb. Why? And why, beginning with Nazareth, does he stoop so low? Why become so poor? Answer, to lift you up and make you rich. Rich with his forgiveness, rich with his mercy, rich with his grace, and rich with his love. You see, if the angel greets Mary and says, "The Lord is with you," the wonder of Christmas is that the same can be said of all of us. But like Mary, you've got to be willing to say yes to him. Like her, we need to realize our poverty, but then be open to receiving the greatest of gifts, the one who fills the hungry and who lifts up the humble. So this Christmas, this Advent season, however ordinary or not you are, I want you to consider Mary. But more than Mary, consider her son, Jesus of Nazareth, and say yes to him like Mary did. Let me pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace to Mary. Father, we thank you for choosing her and becoming a baby in your son in her. And Father, thank you that this Christmas season, Lord, all of us have the chance to know that you are with us and to know your grace and your love and your choosing just like Mary did. So help us, Lord, whether it's for the first time or the umpteenth time, to say yes to you like she did. And in your son's name we pray. Amen.